Today's reading is taken from the book of Genesis, chapter 27, verses 1 to 38. When Isaac was old and his eyes were dim, so that he could not see, he called Esau, his older son, and said to him, "My son," he answered, "Here I am." He said, "Behold, I'm old. I do not know the day of my death. Now then, take your weapons, your quiver and your bow, and go out to the field and hunt game for me, and prepare for me delicious food, such as I love, and bring it to me, so that I may eat, that my soul may bless you before I die." Now Rebekah was listening when Isaac spoke to his son Esau. So when Esau went to the field to hunt for game and bring it, Rebekah said to her son Jacob, "I heard your father speak to your brother Esau. Bring me game and prepare for me delicious food, that I may eat it and bless you before the Lord, before I die. Now therefore, my son, obey my voice as I command you. Go to the flock and bring me 2 good young goats, so that I may prepare from them delicious food for your father, such as he loves. And you shall bring it to your father to eat, so that he may bless you before he dies." But Jacob said to Rebekah his mother, "Behold, my brother Esau is a hairy man, and I am a smooth man. Perhaps my father will feel me, and I shall seem to be mocking him and bring a curse upon myself and not a blessing." His mother said to him, "Let your curse be on me, my son. Only obey my voice and go bring them to me." So he went and took them and brought them to his mother. And his mother prepared delicious food, such as his father loved. Then Rebekah took the best garments of Esau, her older son, which were with her in the house, and put them on Jacob, her younger son. And the skins of the young goats she put on his hands and on the smooth part of his neck. And she put the delicious food and the bread which she had prepared into the hand of her son Jacob. So he went in to his father and said, "My father." And he said, "Here I am. Who are you, my son?" Jacob said to his father, "I am Esau, your first son. I have done as you told me. Now sit up and eat of my game, that your soul may bless me." But Isaac said to his son, "How is it that you have found it so quickly, my son?" He answered, "Because the Lord your God granted me success." Then Isaac said to Jacob, "Please come near, that I may feel you, my son, to know whether you are really my son Esau or not." So Jacob went near to Isaac, his father, who felt him and said, "The voice is Jacob's voice, but the hands are the hands of Esau." And he did not recognize him, because his hands were hairy like his brother Esau's hands. So he blessed him. He said, "Are you really my son Esau?" He answered, "I am." Then he said, "Bring it near to me, that I may eat of my son's game and bless you." So he brought it near to him, and he ate. And he brought him wine, and he drank. Then his father Isaac said to him, "Come near and kiss me, my son." So he came near and kissed him. And Isaac smelled the smell of his garments and blessed him and said, "See, the smell of my son is as the smell of a field that the Lord has blessed. May God give you of the dew of heaven and of the fatness of the earth and plenty of grain and wine. Let peoples serve you and nations bow down to you. Be Lord over your brothers, and may your mother's sons bow to you. Cursed be anyone who curses you, and blessed be anyone who blesses you." As soon as Isaac has finished blessing Jacob, when Jacob has scarcely gone out from the presence of Isaac, his father, Esau, his brother, came in from hunting. He also prepared delicious food and brought it to his father. And he said to his father, "Let my father arise and eat of his son's game, that you may bless me." His father Isaac said to him, "Who are you?" He answered, I'm your son, your firstborn Esau. Then Isaac trembled very violently and said, Who was it then that hunted game and brought it to me, and I ate it all before you came, and I have blessed him? Yes, and he shall be blessed. As soon as Esau heard the words of his father, he cried out with an exceeding great and bitter cry, and said to his father, Bless me, even me also, O my father. But he said, Your brother came deceitfully, and he has taken away your blessing. Esau said, Is he not rightly named Jacob? For he has cheated me these two times. He took away my birthright, and behold, now he has taken away my blessing. Then he said, Have you not reserved the blessing for me? Isaac answered and said to Esau, Behold, I've made him lord over you, and all his brothers I have given to him for servants, and with grain and wine I have sustained him. What then can I do for you, my son? Esau said to his father, Have you but not one blessing, my father? Bless me, even me also, O my father. And Esau lifted up his voice and wept. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Lord God, we ask now that you would, by your Spirit, the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, would you speak to us? Would you show us what it means to have life and hope and peace in Jesus Christ? And would you help us to trust him? In his name we pray. Amen. Friends, if you're joining us for the first time this morning, it's great to have you with us. A very warm welcome. Wonderful to see you. Here at LEC, we believe that the Bible is God's word. It is written by different people in different places over many, many years, but it is ultimately all written by God. And so rather than me telling you my favorite things about God, it's our practice at LEC. We want to hear God's voice heard. So we try and preach through whole books of the Bible bit by bit, and we are halfway through a series in Genesis at the moment, so we're carrying on through this book. We're currently looking at this family right at the start in the very first book of the Bible. It's called Genesis. The events in this book happened hundreds or thousands of years before Jesus Christ was born, before he walked the earth, but they point to him. The word Genesis, it means beginning. And this is about not just the beginning of this creation, but this is a book about the beginning of God's dealing with his people as he rights every wrong, as he begins to bring his blessing to his people. God's master plan to restore and renew broken humanity in Jesus Christ. Nela and Noah's baptisms are pictures of that. God washing them clean, God remaking them, renewing them in his image, in his likeness, creating a new humanity in Jesus Christ. And as we come to this family in our reading that Marion read for us, the family that grew into the Old Testament people of God, we see that they are broken, don't we? What a family they are, a family that is ruined by sin. Sin is that word that the Bible uses for the way that we treat God. It's about putting myself in the middle, myself instead of God. The word is spelt with an I in the middle, so it's S-I-N. I put myself in the center of my life and not God, where he should be. It speaks of rebellion, our rebellion, each one of us, on our own and together, against the good and perfect God. And it results in God's fair and just punishment. And we find this family that are marked and that are broken by sin. They lie and they cheat and they steal. They have favorites. Sibling rivalry turns into hatred, which brews over into murder, or at least attempted murder, or plans to murder. It's a bit like a soap opera when you read it. And yet our passage this morning teaches us two wonderful truths. I'm sorry, I don't have a PowerPoint this morning. I didn't manage to upload it. But 2 points for us. Number one, God's blessing comes to sinners. And number two, God's blessing comes despite human sin. I don't know if you have read this story, have heard this story before, as Marion read it. It's a great story. It's all about deception. Jacob pretends to be his older brother, Esau, and he steals from him. But ultimately, really, it is all about blessing. It is all about God's blessing. The word blessing comes 70 times in this book of Genesis. Just over a third of those happen in this chapter. This is all about God blessing his people. And the surprising thing is the people that he chooses to bless. We baptized Neela and Noah this morning, not because they are especially good people. We love them. We're really grateful for them. But not because they're especially good people. Not because they have reached some special status. We baptize them because they are sinners who need a savior. Sinners who recognize they need a savior. God's blessing comes to sinners. There are four scenes in this, these verses that we just read. First up is Isaac and his older son Esau in verses 1 to 4. Isaac is getting things ready for when he dies. He's an old man, and he calls his older son Esau to him in secret, and he says in verse 4, if you have a Bible with you, then please do open it up again. We're on page 25, Genesis 27, and have a look down at verse 4. Isaac says, prepare for me delicious food that I love, and bring it to me that I may eat, that my soul may bless you before I die. And if you've been with us over the last 2 or 3 weeks, then you will see why this is such a problem. Because God had said it would be Jacob who was blessed and not Esau. Chapter 25, verse 23, we saw this last week. The older shall serve the younger. Not that Esau had to be excluded. God had promised that his blessing would flow out to every family of the earth. But it would come the way that he intended. It would come through the son that he promised. Isaac, though, seeks to bless the older son against what God has said. He doesn't trust God. Maybe he doesn't like the way that God acts. Did you notice how self-obsessed he is? Have a look down at that verse again, verse 4. He says, prepare for me delicious food that I love, and bring it to me so that I may eat, that my soul may bless ye. We've already been told that Esau was Isaac's favorite son, his favorite son, because he loved his cooking. I don't know what your favorite meal is. Isaac loves Jacob, Esau, because of his greed. Isaac does it all in secret. It's just him and it's just Esau. Rebecca, his wife, only knows about it because she is at the door listening. Hands cupped around her ear. Isaac wants his plan to prevail and not the Lord's. In short, Isaac shows that he is a selfish and a proud man. So we move on to scene two. Rebecca hears her husband's plan and she hatches her own plan. She calls Jacob her favorite son and she says, verse 8, do what I tell you. Sometimes mums give us good instructions, don't they? Three of my mum's favorite commands to me when I was younger, tidy your bedroom, stop hitting your sister, don't know why, and wake up and go to school. Getting up early has never been a favorite of mine. I'm most grateful, though, that she told me to go to church, to read my Bible, and go to youth group. Sometimes, though, mums show that they are sinners too, and this is one of those instances. Rebecca says to Jacob, "Go and get me 2 goats, and I'll cook delicious food for your father. Take it to him and pretend to be your brother, so that your father blesses you and not your brother." Jacob is a clever man, and he says, "Dad might almost be blind, but he's no fool. Esau's way hairier than I am." Verse 12, he doesn't want a curse instead of a blessing. It's a good response, isn't it? But a better one would have been, "Mum, that is lying, stealing, and taking advantage of a vulnerable old man, who, by the way, happens to be your husband, the one that you should cherish and love and honor." Jacob doesn't have that much integrity, though, and he goes along with his mother's deceit. Verse 15, Rebekah goes and gets Esau's best clothes, the tuxedo that he wore to the Abbey Bowl. Esau's favorite deodorant, sprays it all over Jacob. And then she takes the goat skin and she covers Jacob. And so he looks and he smells and he feels the part. At least if you're a partially sighted old man. Just take a moment to consider. Rebecca does all of this to trick her husband and her eldest son. Can you imagine what sort of betrayal that does to a family or to a marriage? Maybe you can. Maybe you've experienced that sort of betrayal. Trust is hard won. It is easily broken. And it is almost impossible to restore. And yet that is what Rebecca did. And verse 17, she places this delicious food into Jacob's hand, and with a whispered, "Good luck," Jacob goes off into his father's presence. And we get the third scene, verses 18 to 29, Isaac and Jacob. Jacob, the Esau impersonator, walks into his father and says in his deepest voice, "I am Esau, your firstborn son." Or whatever it is. Have you ever taken something that isn't yours? Maybe something small and superficial, maybe a sweet, maybe more serious, maybe shoplifting, maybe you've had an affair, taken someone else's spouse. Jacob steals. Jacob lies. Jacob dishonors his father. And Jacob blasphemes. Isaac asks him, "How are you back so quickly, my son? I only just said goodbye to you. You're meant to go out hunting." Look down at his reply in verse 20 on page 26. "The Lord your God granted me success, father." Sometimes the sins that hurt us most are those that are done by religious people. The pious fraud, the Christian business person who takes advantage of you, or the Christian friend who hurt you, or the Christian leader who lived a double life, pretending that they were something that they are not. Jacob's behavior is despicable, isn't it? His dad starts to smell a rat. He wants to feel whether his hands are hairy or not. And he takes his son by the hand, and it feels like it's furry. I don't know what sort of hair Esau had. Now he says, verse 22, it's Jacob's voice, but it is Esau's hands. Still not convinced, he says, "Are you really my son?" And Jacob persists in his sin and in his lies, "I am." And so Isaac blesses Jacob. And we look at this and we think, how outrageous. What a mess. How can these people treat one another like this? How can God bless these people? And the answer is, none of them deserved it. Do they? None of them deserve it. But God gave it to them anyway, because God was determined to, because God isn't like us, because God does what he says, because God is faithful. Because God's blessing comes to sinners. And at this point, it's important that you and I are clear on what that means. Now, we use the word for all sorts of things. If you sneeze, someone might say to you, bless you. If something is particularly cute, you might say, oh, bless. You might ask someone's permission to do something. You might seek their blessing for it. God's blessing, though, is all about his undeserved mercy and his grace coming to sinners, coming to people who don't deserve it, coming to people who could not earn it. God's promise to forgive and to cleanse and to restore broken humanity so that we can enjoy a new relationship with him. See, at the beginning of Genesis, God made this world. He made the first humans in his image. He made them to rule over his good creation, to fill his creation with little glimpses of his glory. And instead, Adam and Eve, the first humans, disobeyed God. They ruined his image in them. And in their sin, they set themselves up as rebel rulers. And so rather than have the earth filled with deformed images of himself, the Lord God put humanity under a death sentence that you and I experience day by day, moment by moment. Yes, of course there are joys. Yes, of course there is goodness. We get to enjoy sunshine on a day when we're baptizing people in a week where it's been raining all week. But there is also evil and there's sorrow, isn't there? And those moments of goodness and joy are always only ever fleeting. It never lasts. Often they're stolen, aren't they? You see, what human beings have done ever since the fall, each one of us sins. Sometimes it's small, sometimes it's big. Sometimes we know it and we feel it. And we see the effects all around us. Often we don't. But sin is ultimately denying God's rightful place in our lives. The Bible never downplays sin. It is always, always serious. Jacob and his family felt the effects of his pride and the greed and the deceit. We get to the end of the story, and you see in verse 38 that Esau lifts up his voice and he weeps. It's a gut-wrenching cry. There's always a victim to our sin. But the effects don't end there. The family would be torn apart. If you flick over to verse 45, we didn't have time to read it this morning. But Rebekah's relationship with her son, Esau, is utterly ruined. She says she is bereft of one son. It's like a funeral word. Esau's tears then turn to murderous hate. He plans to kill his brother because of what he did. And Jacob would spend the next 20 years running away. Even as you read through this, the rest of Genesis, you see there's poetic justice that comes. That later, Jacob is going to be deceived by another animal skin. And he's going to be told that his favorite son has been killed. We think sin promises life. But it only ever ruins and it only ever leads to death. And ultimately, to judgment. And yet God's blessing comes to sinners. God's promise to bless. He had promised to bless Abraham. He promised to bless Isaac. He promised to bless Jacob. He promises to bless every family of the earth in and through this one family. It was a promise that carried on down through the generations until another son was born. Until Jesus, the perfect Son of God, born as a human being so that he could save human beings. Born under the curse of death so that he can save people who live under the curse of death, like you and me. Born to save people who don't deserve it, people who have done wrong. Born to die, born to buy us forgiveness. His death in the place of sinners, that you and me might find new life, that God's blessing might go to sinners. You know, we look at this family and we think, how awful are they? And it gives us hope. Because that is how God treats them. And that is how God treats anyone and everyone who comes to him. With mercy and a grace that we don't deserve. That we can never live up to. That we can never earn. But is a wonderful free gift. God's blessing comes to sinners. Secondly, and much more briefly, God's blessing comes despite our sin. All through this account, it's looked as though Jacob is stealing what doesn't belong to him, doesn't it? The irony is, the blessing was his all along. God had already said back in chapter 25, the promise would come through Jacob and not through Esau. Remember the last time Esau despised his birthright? And all this scheming and these lies and these deceits, it achieved nothing more than what God had already said would happen. Rebekah, Isaac, Jacob, they all thought they were taking things into their own hands. They were fixing a problem that they wanted, doing it in a way that they wanted to. But God had already promised to bless, and nothing was going to stop him from keeping his promise. And especially not the sin that he was determined to fix. God's blessing comes despite our sin. It was true back there for Jacob and for Isaac and their family, and it is true for us. Jesus Christ was betrayed by a close friend. He was spat at. He was beaten, he was mocked and endured a sham trial and was unjustly murdered as a criminal. And all of that was done to try to silence him and get rid of him. And look at where that left them. The irony is that as Jesus died on a cross, as he was killed on a cross, God used that ultimate act of rejecting him to save the people who rejected him. To bring his blessing to sinners despite our sin. As you read this account of Jacob and Esau, I wonder which of his sins you think would exclude him from God's blessing. The lies that he told. It's quite something, isn't it, to wear a dead animal to pretend to be your brother, that you might steal from him, conning a vulnerable old man, cheating, his name means he cheats. His actions were truly awful, and yet God worked through Jacob's pride and through his greed and through his selfishness to ensure that his blessing would come. What do you think would exclude you from receiving God's blessing? From being accepted by God? Maybe there's a lie that you have told, or a secret that you have kept hidden. Maybe there's a divorce or a broken relationship. Maybe there is your pride or your greed. Friends, despite what your conscience might tell you, despite what Satan's whispers might speak into your ears, there is nothing that you could do that could take you beyond the reach of God's grace and his blessing. God's blessing comes to sinners. It comes despite our sin. It comes precisely because we are sinners in need of saving. It comes because God is determined, just as determined as he was the day he made the earth, determined to fill this earth, his creation, with perfectly restored, glorious images. Washed clean, having died a death and risen to new life in Jesus, and now waiting, people who are waiting for him to return or to call us home. There is no greater offer than God's blessing and a restored relationship. There is nothing more worthy of your time and your life devoting to. For the Christian, we will spend eternity praising the God whose blessing comes despite our sin. God's blessing is there, but you do have to respond to it. Like Nela, like Noah, we need to acknowledge our sin, to turn from it, and to turn to Jesus. To come to him for mercy and for grace. And the tragedy in this account is that Esau never does that. The blessing wasn't going to come through him, but it was still available to him. And instead of joining himself to Jacob and the man through whom God's blessing would come, he tries to kill Jacob. The Bible holds up Esau as a warning for us. If you look down at verse 34, when he realized he'd missed out on God's blessing, Esau cries out with an exceedingly great and bitter cry. Verse 38, he lifts up his voice and he weeps. When he realizes he's missed out. If you listen to these words of warning from the book of Hebrews, written a few years after Jesus lived, many, many years after this event happened, the writer says in chapter 12, verse 15, "See to it that no one fails to obtain the grace of God, that no one is unholy like Esau, who sold his birthright for a single meal. For you know that afterward, when he desired to inherit the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no chance to repent, though he sought it with tears." Friends, because of Jesus, God's blessing comes to sinners, comes in and through and despite our sin, but you do have to grasp it. Let's pray. Lord God, you are a God of mercy and grace who gives us what we don't deserve, and we thank you. And we pray that you'd help us to be a little less like Esau. Help us to grasp what you offer with both hands. Help us to come to Jesus, to find that wonderful new life, that wonderful washing and cleansing, that wonderful hope of restoration, that wonderful promise of blessing that you give in him. And so would you teach us to praise your name. Amen.